Thank you, Brother Cody. I appreciated the special. I don't know if I've heard Zach sing by himself like that before. That was beautiful. I wish I had a voice like that. I appreciated that. It kind of went along with my sermon a little bit, as well as the hymn that we sing, The Present and the Future. I wanted to talk about what life is like now, what it's going to be like in the future during the millennial reign. And we know there's going to be a resurrection at the beginning of that. Just like our brother just sang, arise, my son. It's not just the Lord, right? One day we're all going to arise. And this crown him with many crowns, it seems like, you know, every time I come up here, I hear other speakers speak. Seems like the hymn that is picked is always appropriate for the sermon. And, you know, there's some lyrics in here about how the Lord is going to reign in beauty glorified, the wars may cease, all be prayer and praise. Words like that here. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet, fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. So that's what I wanted to talk about. I'm thankful for my brother Cody to be up here with me. I don't usually write notes to my sermons. I did when I first became a minister. I kind of put that aside. I want to let the Lord direct me, but I have notes here for this one, and I have too many notes. I have a book up here that I'm going to read, but I'm going to let the Lord direct. Actually, I'm not going to read this. I'm going to let the Lord direct me, and I ask for your prayers that these would be, of course, the words of the Lord and not my own words. But we've talked a lot about the state of the present here as we've been here. We heard it yesterday during the message that we heard, and a lot of the thoughts that I have are similar to what my brother had yesterday. And I don't know what's going to be preached the next couple of days. It may be different. The Lord may have multiple things to share with us. But this is a message that should bring you joy and peace and comfort with all the trials and the things we go through in life. We've talked a lot about people that have passed away. Pillars. I know there's a lot of pain there, the loss of, you know, a mother and a father, and other pillars in the church, right, that aren't here with us today. So things are changing. That's what the present is like. It's all about change, and I see that as I get older and I grow up. It's been 20 years since I was baptized, and I've seen a lot of change, and I see a lot of change when I come here 20 years later from what things were 20 years ago. And, you know, the brothers that are in ministry, et cetera. And we can't control the change, but the Lord, he has a plan. He always has a plan that he puts in place. I was thinking about all my images I generated with AI. I know we don't want like any copyright issues, so I was really careful about that. Generated images with AI. This is a representation of the Carousel of Progress that they have at Disney World. I don't know if you've been on that ride, but I typed it into the AI image generator. This is what it came up with. And there's a song that they sing at this Carousel of Progress, if you've ever been there at Walt Disney World. There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow is the name of the song. And this ride isn't very popular anymore. If you go on this ride, there's not a lot of people that ride it, I've noticed over the years. But I was thinking about this song, and I was thinking about how for us it's really the same thing, that there's a great big beautiful tomorrow. It's not really about technology, but it's about one day when the Lord's going to return and he's going to come back, and that's what we have to look forward to. And we can leave the trials of this life. And I was at a sacrament service at Bradley. I was up front, myself and another brother, earlier in the year. And as I sat there, I just kind of looked out, and it was almost like what I was experiencing was almost like a dream. Like I was looking back at what had already happened. It was like the Lord had returned, and I was just thinking about this experience that I was having. And one day that's what it'll be like when, after the Lord returns, and we look back upon how the Lord has blessed us and how we have grown, and how we'll want to tell that story of the Lord and how he's blessed us through the years. But I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, Chris, don't get too far ahead of yourself. There's a lot of work still to be done right now. I have a responsibility now. The future's not here yet, and that's the challenge that we have, right, for the rest of our lives here. Don't know when the Lord's going to return, but we have priorities that are in front of us, that we things we need to do and things we need to take care of before the Lord returns. So we're going to have sort of a time machine, but I want to talk just a little bit more about the present. I want to talk about this. I made some minor modifications to this sermon today, but all the substance is pretty much the same. I generated this image with AI. It's a progression from childhood, for a male, from childhood up to maturity, you know, 70, 80 years old, possibly. I have one grandfather, one grandparent left. He's 95 years old. He's always been around, but he's having health difficulties now. And, you know, you get up to that age and things start to catch up with you. He's not always going to be around. It's just like pillars in this church aren't always going to be around, right? And the younger people are going to have to step up. And when you're young, you think, I'm never going to grow old. That's what I thought, right? You're never going to grow old. Your parents are always going to be around. And life's not like that, and you learn that as you get older. My daughters aren't young anymore. 20 years ago, my wife was pregnant with my oldest daughter, and now my daughter's going to be 20 years old this year. So we see this change over life. We see brothers and sisters that have passed. Time is hard. Time is a commodity, I think it was said in one of the reports today. We don't have enough time to do everything that we want to do. And I see that in my life with all the various responsibilities that I have. Well, one day that's going to change. One day we're going to have a lot more time than what we have now. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. I went to the men's retreat, I guess it was in the fall of last year, and we had a great time. I think it took a little while for the men to come out of their shell, and eventually everybody kind of did, I think, and we had great fellowship. But we were having sacrament service, and there was a brother that he shared a testimony. He said, you know, I really appreciate seeing all the young men that are here. And, you know, these are the young men that are going to take over the ministry eventually. It goes right along with what we've heard today. I was leaving the other night, and I saw Brother Jose out mowing the temple lot out here. And I thought, well, 20 years ago, who mowed the temple lot? It wasn't Jose, it was somebody else. But we see change in our life. During conference this morning, there were three brothers up here sitting around these tables. Right? Three young men, I would call them, up here. It wasn't like that 10 years ago. There was somebody else sitting up here, up in the front. I've been looking at these boys during conference up here. These young men, maybe I should say, up here in the front. And they look great to me. And the Lord, I think, has a role for you in the future. And I think it's a great thing that you guys are all sitting up here in the front together like this, and you're looking at me. I don't know if you'll be attentive the whole service, but I think it's great that you're up here. We heard some brothers that had some testimonies over here on this side about children and things like that I've heard, and these are the young men, and it's not just men, it's the women too. The women grow, and they have skills and talents and abilities, and the women teach us men a lot of different things, and the Lord has a role for them. I've appreciated seeing some of the little girls walking around, and I was able to talk to them today downstairs a little bit. I won't say their names, but this is what the present's like. Something else the present's like, the present that we're living in today. Things, the Book of Mormon, right? We have this restoration of the gospel. We have the scriptures. But in general, the United States doesn't want the Book of Mormon, right? The people in the United States don't want it. And I found that. You've seen it too. And it's not always going to be like that. It's not always going to be like that. And It's really no different than what the Lord faced. It's not us they reject, but it's the Lord that they reject. Some of you have health issues, and we've heard about this. We had prayers that were asked during the sacrament service yesterday, and there were a lot of prayer requests. And our brother who was leading the sacrament service, he said, yeah, there's quite a few requests. I mean, there must have been like 15 requests. And when life is good, it's great. When you're struggling with health issues, it's difficult. And it's hard not to lose your faith. We all struggle with different things. We've heard about those that have cancer. We've heard about brother that's having a kidney transplant. Another brother that said he's having tremors, et cetera, et cetera. And this is the state of the present that we live in, but it won't always be like this. Weeds, right? We deal with weeds ever since the fall. I remember one of my brothers that came back from Florida recently told me he went out and he weeded his garden when he came back. Every year we have to do this over and over again and pull the weeds. But it's not always going to be like that. Money. We deal with money issues. We all, you know, some of us have struggled with money with regards to, you know, making sure we have enough money to save for retirement. It's always something on our mind. We have to plan accordingly. There's so many options out there too, what you invest in. There's the dollar. You know, there's cryptocurrency now, there's gold, there's silver, there's real estate, there's all these things and, you know, decisions that you make about the temporal things. There's AI, which is at the top of this technology curve. This is from gregschool.org. It shows that technology is an exponential curve. It's not straight, it's exponential. And so we see this. You know, it almost is vertical at this point. And now we have AI that's kind of taking over. I don't know if they're taking over the world, but they're involved in everything. And there's been presentations at my work where somebody said where they could do some coding with AI, and so they gave a presentation. AI did an okay job with it. It had to be reworked. But we don't know really what's going to happen here. There's articles that say 47% of jobs will be replaced by AI, but it's kind of like the Industrial Revolution, I suppose, kind of all over again. I know there's a lot of fear there, but we don't know how this is going to turn out in the future. It's part of the present, the state of the present. Of course, we deal with wars, right? This is an AI-generated image. I think it did a pretty good job. Of World War II is what this is supposed to be. Vietnam, this is an AI-generated image. The Gulf War, 9/11. You know, I could have just went any war I would have thought of. And then, of course, the Ukraine war right now. This is what we deal with conflict and division in this world that we live in the present. We talked a little bit about politics yesterday. There's division here, right? There's division among us in politics. Some of you voted Republican, some of you voted Democrat, some of you didn't vote at all. And I was thinking about this. I think the AI did a pretty good job as Bill Clinton and Al Gore, so we have Democrats, and it's just a Democrat gets elected, you know, a president, vice president, then Republican, then Democrat, then Republican. It's just back and forth, back and forth. And that's the state that we're living in right now. And it's really, it's kind of messy. I don't want to offend anybody with this picture, but this is what the AI generated. This is supposed to be George W. Bush, which I think is a good man, and Dick Cheney. I don't think it looks like Dick Cheney. I don't know why they are having a picnic here. It's almost like this is another thing we deal with, our conspiracy theories. It's almost like this AI. It did a really good job with the Democrats, not so much with the Republicans, because here's Obama and Biden. I think this is a nice-looking picture. And why are they holding hands? I don't know. I don't think they hold hands anymore. This could be offensive, right? As soon as I put image of any politician up here, I could offend you with this. You know, this is the present that we deal with, this division that we have, even within the church. They did a good job with this one, Biden and Harris. The AI doesn't do a good job with text, so that text is just gibberish. And then where we are right now, Trump, and this is supposed to be J.D. Vance, and it doesn't look like J.D. Vance. All the other images were worse than that, and so I was going to spend forever finding a good image, but division, right? There's kings that rule today, presidents we talked about yesterday, right? One day the Lord's going to return, we're not going to have to deal with this anymore. We're going to have one president, right? One king, I should say. I like to watch videos about the moon landings. It seems like every 5-10 years I get on a kick and I'll go back and I'll watch documentaries on the moon landings. But there's conspiracy theories about this. There's conspiracy theories about a lot of things. How do you know that the moon landing really happened? Did you see the rocket make it all the way to the moon, or the command module? I don't know. I think so, but conspiracy theories are out there, and some may be right. I don't really know. It's the state of the present. We've talked about churches. Churches in the world. This is an AI-generated image. I typed in Baptist church, and this is what it generated. And there's great division in the Christian world, not only in the non-Christian world and the area of religion, but even in the Christian world itself, and Protestantism, Catholicism, the Restoration. There's division. And I was thinking about a sermon that our brother who spoke last night, I don't know, it was probably 5-10 years ago. And I remember what he said. He said, I don't know if he called it a dilemma, but the conundrum that we deal with, there are good people in other churches is what he said, right? And he talked about it again last night. And the humble followers of Christ. And, I think there's a message here. There was a lady that walked in during the sacrament service. And she didn't stay during the whole service, but, one day there's going to be a lot of people that show up. I don't know when exactly that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And it's not just going to be us anymore, right? And we're going to have to love the people that show up, and they'll love us back, I believe. Another representation of a church. This is all AI generated. Another one. This one I typed in the Church of Christ, 1830 Temple Lot, and this is what it generated. It's a nice looking building. Yeah, humble building. Yeah. That's what, there's something to be said for this. This is a nice building, but it's a humble building, right? Church of Nazarene, they did a good job. Well, Church of Nazarenes, it seems like they were made in like 70s or something. They had this brick, this orange brick. And there's a mega church. This one. So I was thinking about the dream that our brother Glenn Orsted had. I've never met him before. But I remember his dream that he had, that he saw our church, our humble little church, and he saw another group of people outside of the church, that they were kind of walking around, didn't really know where to go. I'm kind of paraphrasing this, I may not have exactly right. And then the storm came, and after the storm came, these two groups came together and they merged, and then there was light shining out of the windows. So I thought the AI did a good job with this image here. But we talked a little bit about this yesterday. This is going to come eventually. I don't know when. I was talking to a sister just during dinner tonight about some of these things, and brothers today about some of these things. It's going to happen at some point. Another thing about the present, scandal, right? There's always scandal. There's always sin. There's things to deal with. We don't know who's going to be the next to stumble, who's going to be the next to fall. It could be me. It could be you. It's because of sin. It's because of the present state of the world that we live in. You know, who is going to stumble and fall tomorrow? Who's going to be in the news tomorrow? I think about this sometimes. I remember it was either a science class of some sort of physics class about the second law of thermodynamics. I remember reading this in junior high in a book. Second law of thermodynamics states that as one goes forward in time, the net entropy, degree of disorder of any isolated or closed system will always increase or at least stay the same. And I read that and I thought, well, that's kind of depressing that everything goes from order to the disorder. And you think about it, and it makes a lot of sense, what we see in this world and this life. Entropy naturally increases over time. Problems arise. Your house gets messy. Your garden gets weeds. And the heat from your coffee spreads out. Businesses fail. Crimes and revolutions occur. And relationships end. In the long run, everything naturally decays, and disorder always increases. To return a system to its original state, it takes more energy than that which was required for disorder to happen. And that, I think that makes a lot of sense. And this is scientific. But I think about that sometimes. It's the present state of the world. And then, of course, we've talked about some of the negative aspects, but then there's positive aspects of the present, and that's our Lord, right? And Romans 4:68 says, "For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in him there's no variableness, neither shadow of changing." It's the only thing in life that stays the same. Now, there's been testimonies about the love that the Lord has for us, the forgiveness that he has for us, his mercy that he has for us. You know, sometimes it seems like my life can be a spiritual roller coaster when I'm so bogged down with things in the world. And the Lord's always there to return to. You know, shame on me for leaving him in the first place, but he's always there and always available for me. And that's part of the present that we have right now. All right, so now we're going to time travel here. We're going to go to the future. I don't know if you remember this show. I was really little when this was on. This is In Search Of. It was with Leonard Nimoy. He was the host. I remember watching it. I was probably no more than 4 or 5 in our family room at the time, and they'd have shows on about giants and the Loch Ness Monster. I don't know if these are like crystal skulls or something, Stonehenge, Amelia Earhart, space. There's all kinds of shows about aliens and stuff. Easter Island, but I thought, well, they need to have a show about the millennium, In Search of the Millennium, In Search of the Millennial Reign of Christ. It's a very interesting topic, and it's really fascinated me as I've thought about this and what this is going to be like. I don't completely understand it, but what I want to do is I want to talk about this. Now, we talked about the present. I want to talk about the future. We have scriptures, this isn't a completely exhaustive list, but I've got quite a few. Revelation 21:3, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan bound him 1,000 years. Going to be locked up. And it says, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." And, you know, I read this and it kind of dawned on me that it's like it's so easy for this angel to make this happen, to capture the devil, to chain him up and have this key. It's like, why don't they do that now? Why isn't this angel and God directed now? Well, that's not part of God's plan yet, right? He has a timeline. But eventually this is going to be happen. And something I never thought about before either is this bottomless pit. Is this pit really bottomless? You know, is this, he's chained up? Does he just fall and he falls and falls? I don't know. This is a depiction, an AI depiction. I don't think this is what Satan looks like, but this is what it came up with. Angel with the key. Halo, I don't think angels have wings, I don't think. Cherubims, maybe. But this is you know, supernatural. There's a lot of amazing things here. We have fantasy, things that we watch, shows that we watch. But this is real. This is real. It's not even fantasy. It's real. I couldn't do this sermon without just talking about this for a second. This is an AI-generated image as well. I've always been a fan of the Twilight Zone, the old Twilight Zones, and there's a show or an episode, season 5, where there's a man that's on a walking trip. It's in Europe, and it's raining outside. It's thundering, it's lightnings, and he's sick, and he needs to have someplace to go. And he goes to this old castle, and he knocks on the door, and he said, "You need to let me in. I'm sick. Can you provide food and a place for me to rest overnight?" And they said, "No, we can't let you in. We can't let you in." And eventually talks them into letting him in, but there's this howling noise in the background. And this man, his name is Ellington, and he enters into the castle, and he finds that they have a man who's imprisoned, and he's in this prison cell. And the only thing that's holding this man in is a staff. It's actually just one staff, but this is what the AI generated. And Ellington says to this man, when he's talking to him privately, he says, "Why haven't you lifted the staff up and let yourself out the door?" And this man says, "Just never mind. It's too complicated. Just open, you know, raise the staff up." And so this man thought about it, but it's almost like a monastery. And there's a man there. His name is Jerome. He kind of looks like Moses. And each one of the men that are there in this ministry or this order, they have these staffs, and Ellington starts questioning Jerome, and he says, "Why do you have a man locked up?" And Jerome says, "You know, I can't really tell you," and they go back and forth about it, and Ellington says, "I'm going to have to report you to the authorities," and Jerome says, "Would you really do that?" And Ellington says, "Well, what would you do?" And then Jerome says, "Well, I see I'm going to have to tell you the truth about this." And so Jerome, he talks to Ellington, and he says, "It's no man." He says, "It's the devil himself that's locked up in this prison." And Ellington, he's like, okay, you know, he's doesn't have a lot of faith that what Jerome is saying is true. But Ellington has additional discussion. He kind of walks around this castle on his own. Jerome's not aware of this. He talks to this man. And then in the middle of the night, Ellington, he gets up, and he sneaks over to where this man is, and he lifts up this staff. And I probably shouldn't spoil this for you if you want to watch it, but he lifts up the staff, he lets this man out, and this man, he just goes like this to Ellington, and Ellington's curled up on the floor, and then the man becomes Satan. And so it's kind of like that, the millennial reign of Christ, and this locked up Satan. But the millennial reign is going to be real. It's not going to be fantasy. It's not going to be the Twilight Zone. But Ellington says to Jerome, he says, "Brother, not that I doubt you, you understand only. Well, isn't it possible you might have made a mistake?" And Jerome says, "No, think, Master Ellington, think of the peace of the world these last 5 years. Think of this country now. Is there another like it?" And I think it's interesting that, you know, so many things in the temporal world and even the secular world, they draw from truth of Christianity. And I appreciate that. Unfortunately, we don't see that as much in the world today. Revelation 24 through 6, let's continue on with some of these scriptures about the millennium. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God," excuse me, "and which had not worshipped the beast. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. And, you know, I've read this so many times before. It's a little confusing how it reads here. if I go back to verse 4, it's talking about those that, you know, face trials in their life. These are the ones that are going to partake in the first resurrection or when Christ returns at the beginning of the millennial reign. And then it talks about the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. Well, the first resurrection is referring to the first group of people. But when Christ is going to return, you're either going to be part of hopefully the first group. You don't want to not be prepared so that you have to wait. You're part of the unrighteous. You don't change your ways. And you partake in the second resurrection. You'll have to wait until the 1,000 years are over. You know, you'll be down in the place where you don't want to go. You'll have to wait 1,000 years. I don't know what time is like down there. If it's the same as what it is now, I assume it is. But you have to wait 1,000 years for that judgment. You know, the Book of Mormon says, you know, this is a time to prepare after this life. That's it. You don't have a second chance when that day comes. Revelation 24 through 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but shall be priests of God of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And, you know, these Tuesday night studies that we have in Michigan, we talk about so many interesting things. And, you know, this passage here, it says a second death hath no power, you know, and brother has talked about this over the years. But if you take part in the first resurrection, I mean, it says right here, the second death hath no power. It can't hurt you. So you've made it. You've made it for all eternity is what I think this is saying here. It says we'll be priests of God in Christ. This is something else I don't understand. Well, I mean, I guess I understand this, but the Lord is going to give us abilities when he returns. He's going to put us in charge of things so that people are priests. I've had 12 bosses so far. I've worked at the same company since college. I've had 12 different bosses, and during the millennial reign, I'm just going to have one. 1,000 years, that's a long time. You can get a lot done in 1,000 years. Not like now, where you have to choose as to what you're going to do. So there's going to be a lot of time, but even 1,000 years, some might think, well, that's even too short. One day after the 1,000 years, and it's going to be all eternity. I was talking to a sister about this evening. She was talking to me about this. So that's like 1026 to 2025 AD. If you go back 1,000 years, this is how long that would be. So the question is now, when's the date going to be in the future when this actually happens? So if you measure it from now, 2025 to 3024 AD, if I did the math right. What if it was like 3-4 years away from now, 2029 to 3028 AD? You know, there's brothers that have done calculations about this. And I was thinking about the verse that says, no man knows the hour or the day. It doesn't say anything about the year. I think we possibly could know the year when the Lord returns. 2200 to 3199, I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe. 5000 to 5999. You know, there's a theory, too, about a 7,000-year existence, which I think is really interesting. Not everybody agrees with it. And it's interesting, though, that if the 7,000 years from what? Was it when Adam was created? Or was it when Adam fell, right? So if it was around 4,000-some B.C. or 39-something, you know, if this 6,000 years from that, that'd put us about right now, and then there's 1,000 years, there's a day of rest after that. So I don't really know what it was, 14,168. I went a little overboard here with these dates, 15,167. First Nephi 7, 55 to 62, and the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And it says here, it's interesting, it says here speedily. The time cometh speedily, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it is pretty quick, right? Because this existence that we have in time, it's so short, it's like a vapor that it says in Scripture. And our Lord, he's going to reign. He's going to put down all power. All power is going to be put down. All enemies are going to be put down. We're not going to have to deal with the craziness that we have now, that we have imperfect people leading us. Israel wanted a king, and they got what they wanted, and they stumbled as a result of this. But one day we're going to have the Lord. He's going to come back. He's going to be our king. It's the future versus what we have now in the present. 1 Nephi 7, 55 to 62, and he gathers his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him they shall find pasture. The Lord is going to provide for us. He's going to provide for us spiritually. He's going to provide for us temporally. You know, he's going to be a loving king, our loving Lord. We won't have to deal with all the struggles that we face now, but it's going to take an effort to get there, right? We have to make an effort to make it this far. This continues, and because of the righteousness of his people, Satan hath no power, wherefore he cannot be loosed for the space of many years, for he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. 1 Corinthians 15, 24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And that's what we just read about in some of these other scriptures. And Satan shall have no power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time. Even Scripture says this is a long time. 1,000 years is a long time. And Scripture recognizes that. So this is what I think is even more interesting about this. What will we do? What is it going to be like during the millennial reign of Christ? I talked about some of this for Bradley, Michigan, so I apologize. You're going to hear some of the same things a couple months ago. Genesis 2, 2 through 3, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he hath made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And so, you know, I was thinking about this. This was a perfect Lord, and a perfect Lord was a creator himself, and he even rested. Right? We're going to be resurrected, and we're going to be creating things just like we do now. And we'll even be able to rest, I think, have times of rest. I don't know, you have 1,000 years. I don't know if you're going to be able to sleep for a whole week if you want to. If you like to sleep, I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know if it'd be 24-hour days. I suppose so. I think the earth would probably keep rotating like it is for a while. It's very interesting to think about this. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. This is something else I had thought about and I had shared. I don't know if they're here today, but a handful of years ago, not very long ago, we had a pillar in the church that had passed away, and I remember during the sacrament service, her daughter got up and talked about it, and I think she said she had a dream, and she saw her mother, and her mother was happy, and she was working in a garden. She liked the garden, but the garden didn't need tending, but she was still doing it, and that's kind of what this is like here, right? This is before the fall. Adam's working in the garden to dress and keep it. I mean, what did he do? He took care of it, but did it really need taken care of? I don't know. I don't understand this. And there's a certain when you work on something, even when you pull weeds, there's satisfaction, some satisfaction when you're done doing that. But if you have no weeds to pull, then what is that like? Where does your satisfaction come from? It's got to be perfect peace, but you're still doing these things, and you're still enjoying them. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. Isaiah 65:19-25, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and join my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. I've heard other brothers talking about how they have broken down because of their jobs recently. It's happened to me. You have things that you're dealing with in your life. We talked about the diseases and the sicknesses and the afflictions, and it's not easy. It's not easy for you. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So I think it's saying no premature infant deaths. Everybody's going to live to be 100 years old. I think for those that have not been resurrected, I'm no expert at this. I'm just trying to make sense of all of this. But there's going to be sin. There's going to be a sinner still. The devil's going to be locked up, but people are still going to be making choices that aren't good. So there's an aspect of sin. There's an aspect of temptation because of the devil, and then there's still the natural inclination as well. This is interesting. Isaiah 65, we continue here, verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. So we're still going to be doing things. We're still going to be building houses. And right now we go to Home Depot or to Lowe's or the hardware store to get what we need. What's it going to be like in the future? Are there going to be stores? Is there going to be like a storehouse maybe? You can go get nails and tools. Are there going to be power tools? Is there going to be electricity? It's just interesting to think about that. And I thought this image was kind of hilarious. This is the AI image. Home Depot in heaven. And I don't think there's going to be clouds on the earth, but I don't think angels are going to be flying around like that, but it's funny. Okay, so we're building. We've all, I think a lot of us have nailed, put wood together. What happens if you're holding a nail and you hit your thumb? It hurts, yeah. What happens during the millennial reign? Does it hurt? Well, you have a resurrected body. Can you feel pain? I don't want to think so, but very interesting to think about. What are we going? We're going to be gardening. What are we going to wear? Are we going to be wearing outfits like they wore in Bible times? Are we going to be going and buying jeans and T-shirts? And I don't understand this. I don't know. Some of this stuff doesn't really matter, but it's going to be neat to experience it if we make it there. I want to be a part of that. Luke 24:42-43, and they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and he did eat before them. I think about this passage sometimes. The Lord had a resurrected body and he's eating, right? And we read about the scripture, building houses, planting gardens and vineyards. We're going to be eating still. But what's our body going to be like? Is it going to have a digestive system? Is it going to have a stomach? I don't think so. Are you going to be able to overeat? I don't think you would, but I don't know. What I'm hoping, though, is you don't gain weight. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. So right now, in this life, in the present, you might build a house, you might move into a house, and eventually somebody else will move into it. won't be around always. And it's saying the future is really not going to be like that. And that makes sense. It's thousand years. Are you going to have the same house for that entire 1,000 years? Whatever you do, it's not going to be in vanity. It's not going to be in vain. What's the weather going to be like? Are you going to lose crops? Crops going to be lost with hail? I don't think so. And, you know, there's things about this, too, that television shows about this where somebody ends up going to heaven and everything's perfect, right? And then they don't like it because it's so perfect. But I don't think that's right. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfection. And it's going to be just right. But I don't understand it. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. I think it's talking about, I suppose, people and their children that are going to be experiencing the same thing. I don't have interpretation of everything in here. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I don't know what this means. Does this mean the Lord is going to answer our questions before we ask them? You know, I didn't really dig into everything that's in here. I wanted to talk about this for a second. Isaiah 11:6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. When we had the men's retreat, people gave testimonies, and I got up and I spoke and I spilled my guts about our dog that had died. And I really don't think that a dog has a soul. You know, they don't participate in the plan of salvation. But at the same time, I want to see my dog again. But it's like dogs. And maybe cats, you know, too. I don't have, never had a cat, but they're like so loving sometimes, right? And I remember we came home from vacation once and our dog was just crying out because it was so happy to see us. And that dog knew who we were. But at the same time, that dog was so carnal. I don't understand that. But what is it going to be like in the future during the millennial reign? The disposition of the animals is going to change just like it changed, I think, after Noah's landing, right? But it's going to change back. But are the animals going to be as carnal as they are now? Maybe. And there's scriptures about animal sacrifice, I think, during the millennial reign. That's a little hard for me to understand. I mean, maybe up front. Something I don't understand. Okay, so Bob Ross, this is AI image, or AI generated image. AI doesn't do a good job with text. That's why this isn't spelled right. No mistakes, happy accidents. I have a shirt with this phrase on it because I like Bob Ross, but I think about this. I don't really wear the shirt because I don't know. You know, theologically, is it right? I mean, when you make mistakes, they're not just happy accidents all the time. They can be really bad mistakes. So what will it be like during the millennial reign, 1,000 years? Can you make a mistake? Is a mistake different than sin? I think it can be. Again, something very interesting to think about. But you want to find out. Let's find out what this is all about, what this is like. We have to make it there. Isaiah 14:7, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Music, right? We've been blessed with a wonderful song service yesterday, a wonderful song service today with the organ and with the piano. There's going to be music in the millennial reign. I play guitar. My sisters that play instruments up here. Am I going to retain that knowledge to how to do that? Or am I have to learn it all over again? I want to play. I want to do this in the millennial reign. What's that going to be like? Is everybody going to know how to play piano? You have 1,000 years to learn how to play piano if you want to. I don't understand this. And I thought, this sounds really crazy, but I want to prepare for the future. I'm like, what can I do now that has everlasting value? So I wrote that musical piece that we played yesterday. Something different, something that has everlasting value, something new, a new song that talks about in the scripture. But I thought, maybe I could like have a database of songs and I can take them with me into the millennial reign and I can put them in my casket or something. Or we can put them, isn't there like a safe downstairs somewhere, put them in the safe? And I don't know, are we gonna take these hymns into the millennial reign? Probably, they'll probably be available. But this is again very interesting to me. I don't understand this. There's gonna be a lot of things that are very similar to what it's like now. But again, you need to make it there. This is kind of a funny image. I'm probably wondering what this is. Now, wouldn't it be neat to make a spaceship during the millennial reign, right? I think selfishly sometimes about the millennial reign. Millennial reign, we're still gonna be doing work for the Lord, right? We're still gonna be doing work for the Lord, but I'm like, I'm gonna have all this time. I love space, I love outer space. So there's a spaceship here, looks like a church, it's flying. There's this, looks like a choir up there at the top and some type of pulpit. There's something underneath with pews, looks like they're having Sunday school or something. I don't understand what, there's gonna be a new heaven and a new earth one day. Are the planets gonna be the same? Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter. One day they're gonna be replaced. I don't know what space is gonna be like. But what about during the millennial reign? I don't know. I don't understand this. But I want to partake in it. I want to see what it's like. People are gonna flow in here to the temple lot, to the old Jerusalem, to the new Jerusalem. There's this grass out here. There's a pattern. There's a rectangle because people are walking around it. I've heard various people talking about it. It's burnt the grass, you know, or trodden down the grass. And you can get on Google Maps and you look down on out here and you see the rectangle because people have been wearing out the grass. What's the grass going to be like in the future? Is it going to get worn down like that? I don't know. I think it's going to be probably perfect grass. You know, there's going to be a work that has to be done, going to the lost tribe of Israel further than what we've already done. I'm going to just kind of move through a little bit here. About war, there's going to be no more war. We talked about all the wars at the beginning of this, right? During the present, the state of wars that exist in this world right now. I've never experienced war. I haven't been a soldier. I'm glad about that. I think some of you probably have. And it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing for people in Ukraine right now. We're not dealing with that. One day, you know, we might. But this is what the millennial reign is going to bring. It's going to bring about peace. Revelation 5, 9 through 10, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." Who's going to be a king? Who's going to be a priest? We're going to be rewarded according to the deeds that we have in this life. What will be the role of the women? I don't know, I don't understand. I don't really want to be a king, but it says some of us are going to be kings, some of us are going to be priests. More verses about recovering his people, recovering the remnant. I'm almost done here. Zephaniah 3:9, "For then will I turn the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." It's going to be like the Tower of Babel, what happened there. It's going to be like it's reversed. We're all going to speak the same language. I don't know what we're going to look like. I think we're all going to look the same for those of us that partake in the righteous resurrection. No more differences in skin color, probably. What our eyes look like. I love to tell the story, right? We sang this hymn, I think, yesterday. I think we're going to have an opportunity to tell the story, to remember the story when the Lord returns. Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. And so I was thinking about this. Does this mean that, you know, at some point we're not going to remember the things of the past? And I know some of the brothers, you know, have an opinion about this, what this means. It says, you know, we're going to retain our guilt. We're going to remember our filthiness. We're going to remember our righteousness. So I need to think about that one more. But I'm talking about the present. I'm talking about the future. And then, of course, we need to have a spiritual aspect to this. If we're going to be serving the Lord in the future, it's not going to change. We're still going to be doing things for the Lord. You're not just going to not do anything anymore. If we don't like serving the Lord now, are you going to like serving the Lord in the future? Well, if you're resurrected, you know, you're going to have the right perspective on everything. But I'm asking myself that question. If I don't like serving the Lord now, why would I like serving him when he returns? Why would I have peace when he returns to say, I'm ready? Or am I going to be one of those people that hides in the rocks? Mormon 4:74, and then cometh the judgment of the Holy One upon them, and then cometh the time that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still. He that is happy shall be happy still, and he that's unhappy shall be happy still. It's not going to change when the Lord returns like that. You're out of time at that point. I think I've got two scriptures left, and I think we're done. Luke 19:16-24, I've had all these scriptures up here on the screen. Let me see here. We're going to go and use this new scripture app that we have. Luke 19:16 says, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto them, well, thou good servant, well done. I think I might have a filter on this. I don't know what's going on here. Should I say well done? Because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up thou that laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I not laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. And I don't want to just go over all this in detail. I'm not going to do this. Said, wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? This is interest. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give to him that hath 10 pounds. So we're going to be giving things to do based on what we're doing now, what we do with our lives now, the talents, the things, our abilities. The Lord is going to either give us more or give us additional things to do, or he's going to say, you're not doing anything. You didn't make it. Second Peter, this is 3:10-14, I think. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then and all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So, of course, this one from the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5. And our future will be the result of the present. And that's my last slide. So it's something to think about, something that I need to think about. Assembling all these scriptures, putting this together. You know, if you rely on the Lord, he gives these scriptures, he provides the presentation, it becomes easy to put it up here. But whether or not I will follow this is yet to be seen. Whether or not you will follow this is yet to be seen. So don't miss out on the opportunity for wonderful things. Whatever that's like, I don't understand it. 1,000-year reign, but there's going to be time of difficulty, I believe, before that. Scriptures didn't tell us, and we've talked about. So you need to endure in order to experience some. These great things when the Lord returns. I thank you for your time. It's a blessing to be here, to have fellowship with you.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that.